Meeting of the Common Council, and it is being recorded. So with that, I have 6:30 p.m. and we will begin the meeting. Before we start, we have one person online. Can you, Carol, is that you?
Yes, Carol Hagen.
Okay. So, and currently at this time, we have no one else at this meeting except for Officer Garrett. So first item up is Pledge of Allegiance. So we'll I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Thank you. Please be seated. Finance Officer Dick Holman.
Birch,
here.
Each,
here.
Luden, here.
Mueller, here.
Okay. That's 4 members present, 0 absent, so we do have a quorum. We are now in session. The first item is the approval of the agenda. We have two things. One is just an updated from the one that was sent out, so I don't believe that requires action, but one does need to request to be added. So you'll see on the one that you have, there are 3 airport items that were added there and highlighted. One is liquidated damages. The second one is the authorized completion statement, the payment project. And then the third one is Senate payout number 9. Those are just added after the paper, or after it went to the paper. The one I would like to add came in today, which is a request from the after prom committee regarding the usage of this building and city donating a facility for the after prom event. And I would like to add that right after the item for the item E1, right after the special license discussion for that evening.
I'll make that motion to approve the agenda for tonight. With the, I'm not too sure how to write it, but with the recommended addendum.
Yeah.
And which includes the 3 for the airport and the 1 for Megan Imer.
Yes. Okay.
For the, bottom after prom committee respectfully requests a donation of this community center for the February 7th, 2026.
Any other discussion or questions on that? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion passed. I'm going to actually have to sit here and wait for somebody. Sorry, I just said that. Okay, so those will be added to their respectable location. As far as the request from the after prom committee, you each should have a copy of that as an addition to the packet. The next items, the monthly items. First is approval and minutes for both the regular meeting, December 1, 2025, and the December 29, 2025. Special meeting for end of year.
I make the motion to approve.
Second. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to go with Steve. So Cheryl made the motion to accept the minutes of December 1st and December 29th council meetings. Steve has seconded. Any other questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are accepted. Next one is the approval of claims.
I would just ask that we pull number 15, Dunnegan, out because of the items added to the agenda. And that's progressive.
And that's essentially the payoff. So we just want to make sure that it's not accidentally approved here and then we have a further discussion. If there's a change, so it will be done with the airport items that we added to the pay.
What is item number 36? Seafoam.
I think you can explain that one.
That's the southeastern area of finance officers group.
Okay.
It's basically a just a group of finance officers around, and it's been kind of helpful just emailing questions back to them. And there are occasional meetings.
That was the only one I couldn't decipher. Okay. I'll second that.
All right, so Caitlin made the motion to accept the claims as amended. Removal number 15. That last Larry a second. Any further questions or discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed nay. That passes. Next one is the finance officer's report.
Make a motion to approve the finance officer's report as published.
Okay. Okay, so Larry's made the motion and Steve has seconded to accept the finance officer's report as written. Any other questions or discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed nay. And there are no donations. Public comments. Public comments are a time for persons to address the Common Council on items not listed on the agenda. No action will be taken on any matter raised under this item on the agenda until the matter has specifically been added to a future agenda. Each person has up to 3 minutes to speak, and there should be no personal attacks directed at any members of the Common Council, city employees, or other individuals. Would anyone like to make a comment?
Right here. I'm William Paulson, lifelong resident of this town. 502 11th Street, Springfield, South Dakota. I want you guys to write this down. 42 U.S. Code 1983. The prevention of a government body, a city, actively preventing someone from exercising your First Amendment privilege is unlawful. So, I have a plan for 7 lawsuits with the city of Springfield in 2026. If I'm prevented from exercising my First Amendment privilege this evening, it's going to be 8. This body has been blatantly violating this law without even trying to hide it since May of 2022. It's 2026, folks. It's going to be really rough for Springfield because of the direction it's going. The town is going to suffer financially, publicly, and litigiously. Since this last meeting, I have spoken to each one of you council members. Half of you inform me that you've liked what I've done with these other properties, cleaning them up and spending time, money, and resources on them. I think it would be fair to say that I've developed a favorable track record. I'm the one guy that's buying everything up, spending money on it all. Everyone wants properties to be cleaned up, but I'm the only one that's actually doing something about it. So let's go after that guy, right? Let's go after him, not to mention that he's a lifelong local and an entrepreneur and a businessman.
William, we're more than happy.
All right, make it 8. Number 8.
As it says.
Come in number 8, then.
It says right there. So no personal attacks.
What attack was made? What attack was made?
Do you have other comments other than directing
it? Well, I'm trying to, but you're preventing me. You're violating 42 U.S. Code 1983 like you do every month. And you put it in the paper saying you're going to do that. That's all right. You can spend 50 grand in federal court fighting it. So you're going to make some money this year, Bo. I told you last month I was done being nice. The time for talk is over. You know? I'm going to try and finish this. All right? I'm going to reclaim my time, too. I'm the one guy that's actually doing something about it. When it comes to Ritchie Park, Mayor Costell has threatened me to tear everything down. He expects everything to be torn down. I believe one of the reasons is because I'm a whistleblower, and this is the only way the mayor can retaliate against me, and that's going to be litigated too. I'm the one of the few people that have actually watched how he screws people out of doing things in this town, and I will not be one of them. I told each one of you that if this continues, you will all be co-defendants. The time for talk is over. If I don't get something in writing that this is going to stop effective immediately, and you council members don't speak out against him, you're all getting sued. The litigation will start tonight. I'm sticking around for Ritchie Park and the agenda. What happens then will determine 2026 for the city of Springfield and all of you. Let's make history, Scotty boy.
All right, thank you, Wyatt. Are there any other comments? Carol?
No, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Hearing none, and no other individuals here, we will move on. We're going to start changing this up a little bit. So as far as the city reports, you have those in your packet. You will brief by exception. We do have there was no official correspondence received. And then the one item by exception for the city item for the city reports is the ambulance call, the ambulance report, which is posted. So just to give a little context of that, 113 runs in 2025, two calls had multiple patients. Last year there were 124 runs year to date, so it's running pretty close. December was a very busy year. Okay, is there any questions on the reports that you have here? All right, then we'll move on. First item up, water treatment plant updates. Things are kind of coming to a conclusion, so things are running over there quite well. The one pump that did go out for warranty work is back at the pump, awaiting installation from the company to come out of Grand Island. The second pump that does need rebuilding, they're going to do on-site versus taking the pump off. So pending getting that scheduled fairly quickly here at the beginning of January. Demolition is still tracking until the spring of 26. The one thing that we're still working on is the surplus of that CO2 tank to get the information as far as value and which direction we need to take in order to surplus it. So we're still working with AOCS to get either something from them as a certified inspector or if we need to do something different. So other than that, things have been running pretty well up there. Okay. And there are no pay after any actions. So the airport project has been moved. You can see the items there. The first item, last month it was approved to do a liquidated damages towards Dunnick Inc. for the amount of $30,000. Once that was sent to them, DGR engineers Brian worked with Dunnick on several communications along with the city attorney. And they did do a little negotiation and settled on $20,000, which is very fair as far as how that goes. If we need to do any further discussion, otherwise I recommend taking the $20,000 and far as liquidated damages go for the overrun on the project, and make that adjustment.
I make the motion that we agree with the $20,000 in liquidated damages from there.
So, Steve, Cheryl's made the motion to accept liquidated damages from $30,000 to $20,000 as presented. Steve has seconded the motion. Any further questions or discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And that motion passes, so we will pass that on to Brian, and we'll get that done. Next item is the final completion statement, which you have in your packet. That's the engineer statement of final completion for the project. This would close the project out 2025, and any remaining work or items are covered under warranty in the warranty.
All of the items on the punch list have been satisfied.
Yes. The primary warranty thing that's going to come is going to be the seating grass, which we know. That completes that, and that also assists in closing out the federal funding for that, which was to the amount of $4,351,229.30. Maybe have a little bit of adjustment based on the liquidated damages at whose percentage. Any questions or comments, discussions on that? Would anybody like to make any?
I'll make a motion to approve the final completion of the Lake Runway reconstruction project.
I'll second that.
Okay, so Kim has made the motion, Larry seconded, to accept the final completion of the airport runway reconstruction project as presented. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So that passes. And then the final one is Airport Dunnick Pay App number 9, the final $118,058.32. We did take a little bit of liberty to adjust that, so that is based off of the $20,000 liquidated damages number.
You did what, Carol, Ken?
The check accounts for the $20,000 of liquidated damages instead of the
right. That's
okay.
That's what we're doing on the picture here.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve pay app number 9 for Dunnick Incorporated.
Second.
So Larry's made the motions. Cheryl has seconded to accept the final Dunnick pay app number 9 for $118,058.32. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And that motion passes. So that will complete that airport, that portion of the airport project. Moving on to the next item, old business, which will require it to be picked up from the table for continued discussion, is the Personnel Policy Manual Section 3, Employee Classification. Is there action to pick it up from the table?
Make motion to pick it up.
I'll second that.
Okay, Cheryl made the motion. Larry has seconded to pick up the Personnel Policy Manual, Section Number 3, Employee Classifications, from the table for discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That item is now picked up from the table and open for discussion.
Okay, so what's in the packet has been updated from the notes I had gotten previously. I got some more after this. Those have not been included, but we can certainly discuss any questions that you might have on what is in your head. And the like strike-throughs are the ones that I would say to take off, like the PTO instead of, we were talking about maybe going from vacation and sick leave to straight PTO, taking that off. And then any, like, actually the one in red for like 3.2 are just some notes and or thoughts, so those can certainly be up for sessions.
I have concern about giving part-time employees benefits. I guess, I think we're opening a can of worms. I think looking at the big picture, full-time employees give benefits. Part-time employees, I just struggle with allowing part-time employees getting benefits. Working in human resources departments, I guess that's kind of maybe my background, and that's why I kind of feel that's a benefit you give full-time people. I could say more, but I think let some other people talk and see how you feel. That's me.
Maybe the question is, what ones are you considering benefits?
I really struggle with, for sure, holiday pay, insurance. I waiver with vacation and sick leave. I did talk to some taxpayers and kind of get their feelings of what they kind of think. And the consensus is full-time people get benefits, part-time people no benefits. That's kind of where I'm at right now, based on some of the feedback that when I brought it up and asked some questions. I think when you start giving part-time benefits, we need to look at a bigger picture, that down the road, you may have people that decide, I want to go part-time. And pretty soon, do we end up with a position that we have to have two part-time people hired, because they're okay with not working 40 hours a week because they're getting benefits. I guess those are some of the things that you kind of need to look at further down the road. That's, like I said, that's me.
For health insurance, you have to work at least 30 hours, as well as something to consider is the size of the group, because we are a smaller group, and just to keep our status within the grandfather clause too. And I will have to confirm what that number is, but just.
And I think that's something too, we need to ensure whoever is in that status now, they need to be grandfathered in, but I'm going further into the future that I just think part-time employees, I guess in my history, I've never had a part-time job where I got benefits either. So it's just one of those perks that you get when you work full time.
No, under the health insurance, you're saying
Well, that was the question there, because currently that is one of the perks is that health insurance is covered for the employee. But if they are looking to add, like, any expense for kids or anything like that, then that's it.
Well, what's our considered full-time knowledge?
No, as she said, for the insurance, you have to go at least 30 hours to be eligible to be under the city's insurance.
They don't have to left to pay insurance either.
No, we're paying for that.
But if they don't have to.
And get it through a spouse or someone that you don't actually have.
But we're paying 100% for the employee.
I was asking if an elected option, like you're getting the same thing.
Turning down health insurance is a big risk in today's environment. But that's, I said, that's just how I feel.
But not everybody needs.
One way doesn't end up the other one.
On the sick leave and vacation leave, people that work 20 hours or less, well, I'm not going to go with less than 20 hours. But at 20 hours, we're discussing possibly giving a half-time leave allowance. Would that employee, if, for example, they call in sick one day, be allowed to put the time that he was scheduled to work but turned up sick, would that be of any benefit for him to come to work for the city later in the week? Is that an option that they're allowed?
I would say that's definitely a possibility.
Okay. So a personal leave situation or sick leave, they have some flexibility to move their scheduled time. Okay.
Right.
I mean, if we did that, though, then that would take that benefit question and give them somebody that.
When I presented a vote, everybody was as good with staying as is.
Okay.
So I'm working.
Can we maybe ask around what is similar what they do?
Or PTO versus like vacation or
sure. I'd make a motion that we table this next month. It sounds like we have all of us have some questions.
I'll second.
Okay. So Cheryl made the motion. Seconded by Caitlin to table the personnel policy manual section 3 employee classification discussion to a future meeting. Are there any other comments or questions or discussions? Okay, please, again, continue to review it. If you have anything, get them submitted to Amanda, and she can work on it and make adjustments, and she'll do the follow-up for the questions that were asked. Those in favor of tabling it, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, so that passes, and it was tabled. Next item is airport hangar leases. These are due. The last time we did this, we did them for 3 years. For 2 years. These are going to be back to three, drop to 2 years to allow time to get done with the pavement project. But as you can see, this is the generic one that everyone would get starting 3 years, either immediately or upon their signing of this, and that we could get till 2028. We did move it a month earlier for 2028, so get it done before the end of the year. You can see the rates set at six cents a square foot for private, 12 cents a square foot.
And again, the items in red are what we're added to.
In our meeting, we had some discussion about the 3 feet around the building And my recommendation is we do not increase the rate at this time for the next 3 years. Then I would relook at increasing the rate because we're asking the people that are renting the hangars or owning the hangars, we're asking them to do a little bit more. We've never put in the policy before that we need them to mow and ensure that there's no shrubs or anything within a 3 feet radius of their building. And we included, so my recommendation is we leave the amount the same and because we are asking them to do a little bit more to clean up. And then also we have a penalty on there now.
Which is item 11 on the back.
I guess my feeling is we've put a lot of money into the airport and wanted it to look nice, and you got shrubs growing out of the side of a building that doesn't look good.
That was one of the changes. The other change in the reg you'll see on the last page, item number 11, is in addition to the lessor's right to terminate, the lessee would agree to pay a penalty of $250 if they fail to comply with provisions of the agreement. That's just an addition. Such penalty would be due within 30 days of a written notice. So that's primarily the tab where we didn't have much in there before. Just so that anybody that does rent, it's up to their end of the agreement.
I don't see anything in here about visual maintenance of their property. You know, if their building is starting to look a little ratty, like maybe it needs a little paint, should that be something to be considered in adding to this? Because we're asking to keep the rest of the airport nice, and if you've got a hangar owner that is doing less than what he should judiciously be doing to keep it nice, what options do we have?
Well, that probably would fall under that paragraph 4 that had the addition as far as keeping structure in good care.
Thanks. I just wanted to make sure that was part of the consideration, sir.
Because that includes negligent acts attributed to the operation maintenance placement, as specific as building condition. Although we do have to include the building, I guess, and it is under lease, it's our property.
Is this rental on these hangars here, is that paid monthly or yearly, or how does that go yearly?
Would they have the option to pay for all 3 years of the contract?
Well, at one time? Good, because usually the rental is really not.
Right.
Like the one is $80.
Yeah, it kind of depends because then we add electricity. But
yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, they could, but then they'd still end up getting.
Sure.
There might be a little bit of electricity.
I'm yep. Just curious if anybody's ever asked for that option.
But can we present it to them that says, hey, you have the option? Pay 3 years in advance.
Depends on the size of their hangar. Right.
The commercial contract just says payable annually in advance. Right. In advance on December 1st. If you want to pay your full. Generally paying. Because it is paid in advance.
I'll make a motion to approve the 2026 hangar, airport hangar leases as presented.
A second.
Okay, so Steve made the motion and Cheryl has seconded to approve the 2026 airport hangar leases as presented. Is there any further questions or discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. Motion passes and the period goes to those of the hangar. She can.
For what?
Good question.
Legal?
Yes.
Second.
I guess I didn't hear what the comment was.
May I ask you for the executive session? Is that legal?
Okay. I understand. I didn't hear you. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Okay, well, we made the motion and Larry has seconded to enter into executive session for a legal item. Conversations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those approved, nay. It is 7:07, and we will move to executive session. Council will head down.